But I had a conversation about a month and a half ago. I made the decision that it's time for me to start exercising again and to start eating better. I know a lot of us have been at that place at different times in our life. And when I first moved out here from Oklahoma about 10 years ago, and I was really into fitness, really into exercise. It was a big part of my life, really enjoyed doing it. It was pretty much my only hobby. And I don't know what to say other than I got married over the last 10 years, and we had one kid, and then we had another kid, and it seems like progressively, you know, you make excuses. You got less and less time to eat right and to work out and all that kind of stuff. And really, the last couple of years, I'll just be brutally honest with you, about the extent of my exercise routine has been typing on the keyboard, right? And so my fingers have been in shape, but that's about it. But I said, okay, it's finally time that I do something to try to get a good physical routine going. It's something important. Take care of your body. Amen. And so I went to somebody that knew what they were talking about with getting in shape. How many of you guys know that if you want to do something well, find someone that knows what they're talking about? So one of our dream team leaders for our usher team, his name is Tony McLaurin. Pastor Joel calls Tony the Meast. And what that means is he's half man, he's half beast, okay? If you've ever seen Tony, he's usually at this door back here, got dreadlocks, just a big man, right? He's like 2.5 of me. He's just a big guy. And so I came to Tony and I said, Tony, look, I need to get in shape. I need to do something. And so he looked at me. I'm always joking around with him, and he tilted his head, and he was like, you're not going to do anything I tell you to do. And I said, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Just give me some stuff to do. And he looked at me again with a long face, and he was like, no, you're not. I know you're not going to do any of these things I tell you to do. And I said, well, give me the chance at least to prove you wrong. Give me some stuff to do. And he said, okay, I'll send you some text messages over the next couple of days, some things that you need to eat, some things that you can do to work out and all that kind of stuff. And so it was the next day. I talked to him on a Sunday. Later that night, he sent me over the different foods that I could eat. And I will tell you this, that there was nothing fried on the menu that he gave me. No fried chicken, no French fries, nothing that you pretty much enjoy to eat. And so he sent me the first food over that I could eat, and I'm like, this is bad. I don't eat that. I'm a picky eater by nature. It's just I've always been like that. I didn't eat salad until I turned 18 years old, just to put that in perspective for you. And just meat and potatoes, that's kind of what I eat. So he sent me the next thing, and I'm like, this is getting worse by the text. I don't eat that either. Am I even going to be able to do this? Is he going to be right and I'm wrong that I'm not going to do this? But he sent me over about 10 things, and there's about 3 things on there that I could stomach and make myself eat on a regular basis. And so I started that. All right, so we got the diet thing going on to get in a good physical routine, start to get physically fit. The next thing, the big thing, exercise. Okay, going to get physically active again for the first time in a couple years. Got to get mentally prepared for this. And so I go to work Monday, get home from work. I told Hope, keep the kids, my wife for a second. I'm going to go in here, and Ryan's going to get started on this. I get down. I just send Tony a text. I was like, all right, let me know what I need to do today. He said, you're going to do chest on Mondays. You're going to work out your chest and different days. You know, you do your legs and your back and all that kind of stuff. And so I said, okay, send me over the things that I need to do. And he said, the first thing that you need to do, he gave me like 6 different things. I mean, just a ridiculous amount of stuff, like I'm trying to compete professionally or something. Because him and his wife literally do compete professionally for fitness and bodybuilding. And so the first thing was push-ups. And no exaggeration, he sends me over that I need to do the equivalent of about 300 push-ups. I can't tell you that I've ever done 300 push-ups in one sitting, okay? But not only just 300 push-ups, the first 100 is supposed to be regular push-ups, right? The second 100 are a little bit harder type of push-up. And then the third 100 to make the 300 even worse. So I was like, all right, well, we're just going to see what we can do today. You know, I'm talking to myself, trying to get mentally prepared. So I get down on my carpet, and I get some push-ups done. I'm not going to tell you how many I got done because it's just embarrassing. But I was spent after I got so many done. I'll let your mind guess about how many that was. And so I'm laying on the floor just panting, and I have my cell phone right there next to me, and I text Tony, bro, this is not happening. I said, 300, are you serious? I was like, I couldn't even get blank. And so he sends me a text back because I'm like, forget the rest of the stuff you told me to do. I can't do anymore physically. You know, it's time for dinner and time to go to sleep. And so the reply that he sent me back is kind of something that that encouraged me for that, but also something I want to share with you is really good. He said, try to get 100, Ryan. Okay, but that's not the part I want to share with you. He said, the more you do it, the easier it's going to get, but stick with it, and you'll get stronger over time. You'll be able to do more. And so the same is true, spiritually speaking, that, you know, if I'm not going to get any stronger, physically speaking, if I try to do push-ups here and there twice a week, I'm never going to get to the place where I need to be, a place of strength. And the same thing is true, spiritually speaking, that whenever we consistently have habits and we have a consistent routine, spiritually speaking, it's going to cause us to be spiritually fit more so, and it's going to cause us to be spiritually effective, okay? And by spiritually effective, I mean two things in particular. That is that we're seeing God move and work in our lives, receiving the things that we need to receive. But secondly, on the other part, we're seeing God move and work through us to be a blessing to other people. Because you got to have both sides, otherwise you kind of get a selfish mentality. And the second thing that brought inspiration to me with this message is last week, whenever we had no Wednesday night service, our staff was at a conference in Birmingham, and the host pastor there talked about, for his life personally, he read in a book that there's about 9 things that he likes to check up on in his life. And I think for everybody, the things that we like to check up on our life and see how they're doing are a little bit different. But he said he endeavored to do these things on a daily basis that he shared. He wanted to make sure he was taking some sort of glance at it on a weekly basis. But on a monthly basis, he wanted to grade himself to see, how am I doing with these things in my life? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how am I doing with these things? And then from that point, he wanted to figure out one way that he could improve that to get better for that next month. And for me, I loved it because I'm kind of a numbers person in one way. I'm kind of a measurement type person. That's kind of some of the things that I do here in the church, and to pay attention to different metrics. And so I really enjoyed that. And it made me start thinking about the times where I can trace back into my life where I've seen God work in a greater way than other times. And I think all of us can say we've had seasons in our life where it was like, man, God is just moving. Things are just happening. And then there's been other times in our life it's like, oh my God, where are you? You know, it seems like the things I'm believing you for, they're not happening when I need them to happen. And so I want to share with you just for a few minutes each one of these things on some of these habits that I believe that I've seen them work in my life. I believe that if you practice them and you focus on these things consistently, that you'll see God both work in your life in a greater way, but also God will work through your life in a greater way. And so I'm going to kind of throw a good bit of information out to you tonight. My goal is not to overwhelm you with a lot of information. My goal is that maybe one of these 4 things that God will speak to your heart, maybe it'll just click, and maybe it'll be one of those things that helps get you back to a place of strength spiritually where you can start to receive from God. Because maybe right now you're trying to do 300 push-ups, so to speak, spiritually, and you're just not there. Most of us aren't there. But this will help if we do these things consistently to where each week we're going to get stronger spiritually. But the first habit I want to talk about is having the habit of faith in our lives. We know, especially in our Word of Faith church, that obviously faith is an important thing. As Christians, we hear it taught on often that we've got to have faith, need to have faith. It takes faith to see things happen, all these different things. And so, if you will, if you got your Bibles tonight, if you'll turn to Hebrews 11:6, if you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand, and our ushers will make sure to get you one in just a moment. But let's turn over here to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Kind of a familiar verse of Scripture here. It says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." We'll read that one more time. It says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him." This is a big deal. If we're going to be strong spiritually speaking, faith is one of those things that is an absolute necessity. We've got to have it moving in our life. We've got to have it working in our life. Otherwise, according to this scripture, we are bringing a lack of pleasure to our Heavenly Father. And as children of God, that's got to be one of the things that's important to us. When we stand before the Lord at the end of our days, we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But I think that I want to hear from the Lord, if you're like me, that he was pleased with me. And the one thing that the Bible talks about that brings pleasure to God is that when we have faith in our life, that it takes faith to please God. And so in our walk as Christians, we've got to look at this habit in our lives and say, where am I at with this? I've got to check up on my faith on a regular basis to see, where is my faith level? Am I growing in it? Is it low? Is it high? Where is it at? Am I even releasing any faith? Do I have any faith working in my life today or this week or this month? Where am I at with that? Because bringing pleasure to God and being pleasing to him has got to be a priority to us. We all want to bring a smile to the Father's face and live a life that is pleasing to him. And so faith has got to be a part of our daily lives. And without it, it's just almost impossible to please God according to the scripture. And so I want to share a story with you. When I first moved out here, I'm from Oklahoma. I've been out here so long, I think I was born here now. And apparently I start to sound country according to some people. But you never thought that would happen, but here we are. So anyway, but when I first moved out here about 10 years ago, I've only had two jobs since I've lived in Mississippi, obviously working for the church. But when I first moved out here, I worked for an alarm company, Pennington Trim, Ed Trim. He's a member of the church here. And so my job was to be the assistant, to be the helper of Jay Horn, who's our worship director here at the church. And pretty much my position went like this. I was Jay's chauffeur, okay? And Jay was excited to see me coming through the door because he had a driver all of a sudden. And which it was a good job for me because I didn't know anywhere I was going in Jackson, and so I learned it pretty quick. And so that part was helpful. But anyway, two things that I did on the job to help Jay. One was I stayed up in the furnace of the attics of Mississippi during the summertime and ran wires. And I'm pretty sure there might be a place in hell similar to that scenario, where it's extreme heat, you got someone yelling at you from beneath you, and you have constant itching because of fiberglass. So my favorite part of the day was when I came down out of the attic. It was like, oh, this is just sweet. This is just heaven on earth to be in this air conditioning right now, and you just wanted to break out into praise. But anyway, so it was the attic part, and then you come downstairs and you're installing the equipment in different places and businesses and in houses. And so it seemed like every single piece of equipment that you install has got these little bitty screws. Little bitty screws. I mean, you must lose them whenever you touch them. And so because you had a little bitty screw, you had to have a little bitty screwdriver to get all these things put together. It didn't matter what it was. It took a little bitty screw and took a little bitty screwdriver to get the thing in there. And so when I first started working with Jay, I didn't have any tools. Soon after, I got some tools, but is a little bitty screwdriver, my friends. And so I constantly lost that little bitty screwdriver. And so I dreaded it because I can't tell you how many times I went up to Jay and he's on the ladder. Hey, Jay, come borrow your screwdriver. He's got the screwdriver in his hand, okay? And so he's got to stop what he's doing. Give me that screwdriver and so that I can go do my job. He's got to stop what he's doing so I can do my job. And he's got to wait on me. And he would always joke around with me. He was real kind and gracious to me. Jay's just like that. And but he'd say in a funny voice, he'd say every time without fail, he'd say, there comes a time in a man's life where he's got to remember to bring his tools, good buddy. But you'd have to hear him say it in the voice he does. It just makes you laugh. And but after a while, even with Jay, I could tell I was getting on his nerves. And so I'd borrow that screwdriver so much. But the reason I share that is that there was one tool I needed to get the job done. And there was one job that I had to do, and that was to help Jay. That was my function at the alarm company, was to help Jay, to drive him and to help him, right? And so I could tell after some point I was bringing a lack of pleasure to Jay whenever I did not have the screwdriver and constantly asking him. And so when I had to borrow that tool, it took us longer to get the job done. We didn't get to leave early. We left later. I was frustrating to him. I was bringing no pleasure to him, and I wasn't being a good help to him. And faith is kind of that one tool that it takes to get the job done in our lives, spiritually speaking. That no matter what we do, it's going to take faith. And we got to have that tool operating in our life. We've got to have faith to be able to please God and to get the job done that God's calling us to do. And so we know that we got to have faith to please God. So then the question becomes, how do we get faith? How do we get faith in our life? I know I've got a habit, so. And some of these scriptures are going to be pretty familiar to a lot of us, but how many of you guys know that it's not just hearing it, but it's doing it that causes our lives to be changed? And so reminders are a good thing. If you will, turn over here to Romans chapter 10, verse 17 with me. We're going to look at this scripture. We know we got to have faith to please God. But if we've got to have faith, we got to know how we can get faith into our lives so that it can begin to work for us. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we'll read this together. It says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've got to have faith to please God. So that means I got to get faith. Faith's going to come simply by hearing God's word. The primary ways that that's going to take place is spending time in God's word. We got to spend time each day. That's got to be a part of our habit in our life, is to spend time in God's word each day. Now, it's a tendency when you get busy in life to not make spending time in God's word a priority. It's a temptation that all of us will face almost every single day. Because if there's one thing that the enemy's trying to do, he's trying to get you distracted and hear everybody else's voice and opinions and whining a lot of times, right? And not listen to the one voice that matters, and that's God's voice. And so faith comes by hearing God's word. So that means we spend time in God's word, and we spend time hearing God's voice in prayer. And so faith is going to come into our lives. We're going to have faith in our heart whenever we hear his word. It's going to take faith to please him. So now we know how we get faith is simply by hearing God's voice and making time for that. But then the third thing is this, is that God not only wants us to have faith, but he wants us to be growing in it. You know, kind of at the beginning, I mentioned that faith is that first habit to stay spiritually fit and effective that we need to be measuring and looking at and seeing where we're at with it each day, especially each week, but taking inventory each month to see, where is my faith at with God? Jesus told us there's great faith and there's little faith. You know, whenever he calmed the storm, he told the disciples, "Oh, ye of little faith," right? And whenever the centurion said, "Just speak the word only and my servant will be healed," Jesus said that he had great faith. And so the thing I don't want us to key in on is how much faith that we have, but I want us to key in on that we need to be growing in it. Just like I couldn't bust out 300 push-ups right then and there, I needed to be growing in it. And I can do more now than I could then. I won't tell you how much more because it takes time, right? But I can do more, all right? Even if it's one or two more, I can do more. It's going to take time to get stronger. That's what he tells me. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. And so let's turn over here to 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. We know we've got to have faith to please God. It's going to come from hearing the word of God. But then thirdly, we want to be growing in it, growing in our faith. And in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3, it says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and your love for everyone, all of you toward each other, aboundeth." The part we want to look at here is this, is that our faith grows exceedingly. The main thing is that it is growing. If we're taking a look at this habit in our life of faith, the most important thing is not how big it is, not how small it is, but are we growing in it? Are we paying attention to this thing? Because it takes this one thing. This is the one tool that's going to get the job done. And if we're neglecting it, and if we're ignoring it, and we're not spending any time in God's word, then that's going to kind of answer the question pretty quick whenever we're saying, and we're praying to God, "I need these things to take place in my life. Lord, I want to see you do this in my life." A lot of times we can track it back to, man, where is my faith at? Have I been hearing God's word? Do I have faith there? Am I growing in it? Because God wants to take us from faith to faith and glory to glory. But I got a text from a good friend of mine last week when I was at the conference, and he said, "I just feel like in my heart that I need to encourage you just to make sure that you're staying active with your faith, basically. Stay active with your faith because I feel like the things that you're believing God for, they're right around the corner. You just got to stick with it." And it was encouraging to me. I think it's an encouraging word for anyone to hear. And it was timely for me But I think that that's God's heart towards us, is that he just wants us to stick with it, because the things that we're believing him for are probably right around the corner. We just got to be consistent with it, and we'll see those things come to pass. But if we're going to grow in faith, there's two things that Kenneth E. Hagin says in his books and his messages when you listen to him. It's Pastor Joel's spiritual father. He's gone home to be with the Lord. I remember reading and hearing these things so much over the years, that there's two things that's going to make faith grow. It's going to be acting on the Word of God, and the second thing is going to be confessing the Word of God, which leads us to our next habit, to stay spiritually fit. It's the habit of confession. And I want to share with you kind of quickly two times in my life, two stories where I've seen pivotal things happen in my life that shaped me fulfilling and getting into God's plan for my life, but then secondly, shaped and got me into God's plan for my family. Now, I've seen God do a lot of things in my life since I've had a relationship with him through the power of confession. You know, James tells us that our tongue is like a rudder of a ship. It's going to steer our lives in whatever direction that we speak, whether good or bad. That's why our words matter. Because whether we realize it or not, according to Mark 11:23, we're going to have whatever we say, good or bad. So that's why it's important what we say to our spouse, to our children, to other people, just things in our life. But the first story I want to share with you is has to do with how I got my job at the church, right? When I first moved out here, my intent was to, like I said, I got certified to be a personal trainer before I moved out here. I was planning on becoming a pharmacist, and I thought I had it all mapped out, and that was my plan and not God's plan. And finally figured out what God's plan was, and his plan's better, obviously. But anyway, I just had kind of a burden in my heart. I felt like I was supposed to do something at the church. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, didn't know what I could do. Just felt like I'm supposed to do something in the church. And I remember sharing with Pastor Joel, we were roommates for a number of months when I was engaged to his sister Hope. And during that time, I remember sitting in the living room and telling him, hey, I just feel like I'm supposed to do something at the church. And, you know, he had just taken over pastoring, and he listened, and he was gracious. And he said, no, I appreciate you sharing that with me. He said, but I got to tell you, he said, just because you're marrying into this family doesn't mean you're getting a job. And he said, you know, Ryan, he said, you may come work for the church in a year, maybe 3 years, maybe 10, but maybe never. And, you know, I said, I completely understand. But he said, the reason I'm telling you that is if God doesn't tell me, it ain't happening. And I tell you what, I so respected him then for saying that, but I respect him even so much more 10 years later. I'm so thankful to have a pastor like that that makes decisions based on what God tells him to do and not people influencing him, trying to get him to do something. I believe that's a huge part in why we've seen God bless this church in so many ways that he has. But anyway, I said, I got some work to do. I can't get away from this. I know I'm supposed to do something there. And so every day, driving to Pennington and Trim to the alarm company, I'd hit about the same turn, and I'd be confessing things over my life for that day. And I'd say, Lord, I thank you. I've got a full-time position at Word of Life Church. The next day, I'd say the same thing. Every single day, I'd say the same thing. A month went by. 2 months went by, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, 9 months has gone by. I didn't care. I couldn't get it out of my heart. I knew I was supposed to do something at the church, and I knew I didn't want to stay in the Maddox either. That's motivation to release your faith, my friends. So anyway, I remember driving across the spillway. It was nighttime, and my wife was in the car with me, and we were right about to get married, and Pastor Joel called me, and he said, Ryan, we got a position open in the church. It's to do maintenance. And he was like, if you want it, you can have it. I want you to pray about it. I said, yeah, I'll pray about it. Yeah, I called him back like 10 minutes later. Yeah, because I knew this is what's in my heart. I can't get away from it. And so I said, I don't care what I'm doing there. I just know I'm supposed to be there. And when it comes to where God wants you to be, that's the most important thing. Just get there. And so had I not confessed the Word of God, I can promise you this, I don't think I would have ever gotten into the place that I needed to be where God called me to be. It's confessing God's Word that's going to help get us into the plan of God for our lives. And if we neglect to do that spiritual habit, to stay spiritually fit, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss out. And on the flip side of it, something similar kind of happened in my family. Me and Hope were married about 5 years. Right when you get married, everyone's first question is, when are you going to have a baby? I mean, as soon as you say I do, everyone's like, when are you going to have your first baby? You finally have your first baby, and everyone's like, when are you going to have your second baby? And it never ends. They want you to have 20 babies or something. I don't know why it's like that. People love children. It's the only guess I can have in my mind. But so anyway, we always told people, we're going to wait about 5 years. We want to have some couple time before we have kids. And I really did, because my mom had an in-home childcare growing up, and I was the free help, okay? And so I dealt with kids all the time growing up. So anyway, when we decided, it was about 5 years to the day, we had our son Maximus. And so you have what you save regardless whether you're trying to or not. A lot of times, we got married on September 20th. He was born on September 3rd, 5 years later. And not even thinking, if you just see these things come to pass in your life. But we got to the place where we decided we want to have a child. And so we were just kind of casual. We were just kind of lazily confessing, Lord, thank you. We're going to have a baby this year. And, you know, 4 days, week goes by later. Lord, thank you. Hope's pregnant. Going to have a baby this year. And you know what? Months went by. And nothing's taken place. And so we went to the baby doctor, sitting in there, get some blood tests done, see what the deal is. And doctor comes back and says, sorry to tell you this, you're not going to have a child. To hope, he said, your percentile is not even in the positive, it's in the negative. And so we're like, okay, well, that's what he says. You know, and so we said, God's bigger than the circumstances. And so we were still just kind of halfway with our confession, not aggressive with it, not doing it every single day, not staying consistent with that habit. And I remember coming home on a Friday, Hope was sitting on the couch, kind of had tears in her eyes, was just kind of sad, and she said, I'm okay if I don't have a child. I'm okay with it if we don't have a family. How have you guys known that's not good enough? That's not good enough. Not when God's put the desire in your heart. And so I said, time to man up, Ryan, okay? Time to get serious about your faith, because your wife is crying right here. You need to step it up. So I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We've not been aggressive with our faith and our confession. Because you got to have faith, but you got to release your faith. That's when God's hand gets to moving in your life. Before then, you can read the word all day long, but if you never speak God's word out of your mouth, you're not going to see anything happen. Just the way it is. God set that up in Genesis where he spoke, and then he saw the things come into existence in the world. So anyway, we got 9 scriptures out. We found 9 baby scriptures in the Bible. And so we printed them up every single day, at least one time a day. She confessed half of them. I confessed half of them. We're going to get this thing done. We're going to be serious about our faith. We're going to make this habit. We're going to get strong spiritually with this. Within a couple of months, she was pregnant. But one of the things also we always confess is she's going to be pregnant before the end of the year. Well, we found out she was pregnant on New Year's Eve, almost at midnight. God honors his word. But we've got to be faithful to confess it, and we've got to be serious about it. You just can't say something here and there, and there's no faith in your heart, and just be like, oh, it's going to happen. You've got to make sure that you got faith in your heart, and you're releasing it on a regular basis to keep the flow of God and the power of God moving in your life. You know, the Bible tells us that the life and death is in the power of the tongue, and a lot of people have often said that our life will never go higher than our confession. So whatever we speak into our life is never going to go beyond that place. If we have a little confession and we confess and thank God for little things, just meeting our needs, he's just going to meet our needs, okay? But if we confess God's going to do a little bit more than that, that's what he's going to do. That's the level where our life is going to be. But if we confess God's word and thank God that he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, that's exactly what we're going to see. But see, he can do more than what we confess in our lives to see him do. And so you got to have faith, but also you got to release your faith to see these things come to pass in our lives. The third habit I want to talk about, this is probably the one I'll talk about for the shortest amount of time, is the habit of devotion. All these things are something that we need to be practicing daily as much as we can. We're going to have off days. It's just the way it is. But we need to make sure we're spending time in it, quality time each week, and checking up on it monthly. Where am I at with this? Am I growing in it? Am I getting better? I was at 100 push-ups last week. Can I get 102 and a half this week? You know, we want to make sure that we're growing in these things, improving. And so I want to turn over here together tonight to the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Cornelius has got to be one of my favorite Bible characters. And the reason is that God called this man devoted. And that's another one of those things I would like to hear from the Lord when I stand before him, is that, yeah, you are faithful, yeah, you please me, and you are devoted. I mean, it would just be wonderful to hear those words. But there's some things that qualify our lives to be devoted. And so we're going to see these things in Acts 10, 1 and 2. It says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house." That's one. "Two, he gave much alms to the people." That's two. "And prayed to God always." That's three. There's three things that are going to qualify us to be devoted in God's eyes. And this is a spiritual habit that if we practice living a life of devotion, we're going to see God move and work in our lives in a consistent basis. It will be consistent having times of devotion with the Lord. The first one is this, is that he feared God with all his house. That means that he honored God, not only himself, but with his household, with his family. He made God a priority in his life. He shaped and he made his decisions based on, was it going to be pleasing to God? Was it going to be honoring to God? Because he was a God-fearing man. The second one is that he lived a life of generosity. We can see here. It doesn't specifically talk about the amount that he gave. It's unimportant to God, the amount that we give. What's important to God is that we live a lifestyle of generosity, that he looked for opportunities to be used by God to bless those in need. God loves generosity. He's a generous God. He wants us to live that same way. And the third thing that qualified him to be counted as a devoted man, and this is the part I want to look at more so tonight, is that he prayed to God always. Now, I'm not going to talk to you for the next 5 minutes about how to have a good prayer life. But the thing I want to share with you is this, is that this man made time to hear from God. He made time to hear from God. It was a priority to him, so much so that it says his prayers went up as a memorial to God. God was so pleased with him. He literally sent Peter from another city to come lead him and his whole entire family and probably all his workers into salvation. God liked this man, right? I mean, you know, God loves us, right? And he can do even more for us as his children. But we see here this thing about Cornelius is that he carved out time in his life. He consistently practiced the presence of God in his life, hearing from God, spending time from God, speaking to God. That is where our strength comes from. And John, it tells us that he's the vine and we're the branches. If we're disconnected from God, our life is just cut off from power. It's cut off from grace. It's cut off from peace. It's cut off from joy. I mean, we are missing out. We're in a place of weakness. Because you know what? If we don't stay connected to the God that saved us, we're right back in the same boat that we started in before we knew him. Plain and simple. If we don't live a life of faith and receive his promises in our lives, we're right back to square one, trying to do it on our own. And we can all say here tonight, if we know the Lord, oh, it's so much better and easier with God. I can tell you, my life was not good before God, so much better with God. But Cornelius lived a life of devotion, and so the strength of any relationship is the time that you spend in that relationship. So time with God each day. And to me, the simplest way to live a life of devotion is this. It's to simply have a time of devotion with God each day. Have a devotional with God. Whether it's spending time and praying to him, start out with 5 minutes, start out with 10 minutes, the morning, the evening, the night. It doesn't matter when it is. During your lunch break, start somewhere. You're not going to start out with 300 push-ups. Start with five, right? You're going to get stronger over time. You're going to develop that desire to want to spend even more time with him during that. And the more we stay connected to the vine, we stay connected to God, we're going to get stronger spiritually. Doesn't matter what you face, you stay connected to him, he's going to bring you through it. You're going to draw from that source of strength and power. You're going to be spiritually strong and fit and effective. You stay disconnected from him. You don't carve out that time in your life. I don't carve out that time in my life. What happens from that place? Man, I'm going to start walking out of love. I'm going to start getting mad about stuff. I'm going to start being short with people. People aren't going to like me anymore. It eventually gets there, right? And so living a life of devotion is the third habit that we want to pay attention to and focus on. Taking time to hear God's voice above all the other voices in our life. That's where That's where things begin to change. That's where things start to happen. Because how else are we going to know what God wants us to do, where God wants us to go, what opportunities He has lying right in front of us that He's prepared ahead of time, what relationships, so on and so forth. If I don't carve out time with God to hear those times and have a time of devotion, man, I'm going to walk right by them. I'm going to walk right by them and miss out on them. So the third habit is devotion. And the last habit that I want to share with you tonight is the habit of love. And there's just one thing I want to kind of hit on with this subject, with the habit of love. It's the most important thing. And the reason I'm going to spend less time on it is simply because Pastor's been doing an amazing job teaching on love over the last few weeks and loving your enemies. If there's a message that we could all hear every single week, it's that message right there. I mean, that's the one that you need to put on in your car and hit repeat and listen to it every single day. Because we're all going to have opportunities like that every single day to walk out of love. But love is the thing that everything else hinges on. It's what makes everything else work in our lives. It's the one New Testament commandment that Jesus gives us is to love God and it's to love others. He keeps it simple for us. You know, He reduced from 10 down to 1. I'm going to make it easy for y'all. Right? But sometimes it can be a challenge to do. But if there's one habit that we practice in our lives every single day, that we've got to make sure that we do our best to do each day, that weekly we're seeing how are we doing with it, and then this is the one we got to check up more than any other one, and then monthly, how did I honestly do walking in love this month? If you wonder how you want to do, if you're married, ask your spouse. They'll probably give you a pretty good answer on that. If you don't want to ask your spouse, ask a friend that's close to you. You know, well, honestly, Joe, you complained quite a bit this month about your job and your boss and, you know, about your grass being too high and your mower's broke and all that, whatever it is. And so, yeah, I think you could come up a little bit in love. So we want to evaluate this more than anything else in our life. Because according to 1 Corinthians 13, we all know this is the love chapter, and you get into the part where love is patient, love is kind, so on and so forth. But right at the beginning of the chapter, it talks about two things very important when it comes to love. One of them is this. He basically tells us that it doesn't matter what you say in your life, if love is not connected to it, it sounds like noise to God. He calls it nothing. Like, you might as well just be quiet because it's not doing any good for you and any good for anybody else. You're not blessing anything, yourself or anybody else, by talking like that. And then the second thing, he goes even further to say, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how many good things you did, even if you give your body to be burned. He says, if love's not connected to it, you might as well have just sat at the house because it's nothing. It's nothing. And man, that's heavy. That's deep. Because a day that we spend outside of the love of God, it's a wasted day. Plain and simple. To me, it's a wasted day according to these verses in 1 Corinthians. That God counts it as nothing. That's how important it is to Him. Why does He count it as nothing? Because of this. God is love. And if love's not connected to it, God's not connected to it. He is light, and He cannot fellowship with darkness. As soon as we get out of love, we close the door on God. His hands are tied. He's not doing, He's not moving, He's working, He's just patiently waiting. I am love. I can't get involved with that. Even though I love them, as soon as I get love back, then, man, I'm going to rock and roll. I'm going to do some amazing things in their life. But until then, everything they're saying, everything they're doing, love's got to be connected to it. Most importantly, it's the thing that everything else hinges on. The Bible tells us, and this is the main thing I want to get at here with this habit, is that faith can't work without it. Faith works by love. We want to see God move in our lives consistently and be effective and stay spiritually fit, right? Love is going to be numero uno when it comes to being spiritually effective because it takes faith to get God's hand moving in our lives. We've got to speak His word. But if love's not connected to it, faith doesn't work. I'll share this story with you in closing. Before I say that, I will say this, that I am confident that so many times that we feel like we're having faith failures and we're not receiving from God, I think 9 out of 10 times it's a love failure. It's not a faith failure. Simply because faith's not working without it. If there's one thing that the devil's going to try to do, he's going to try to make us all think that, yeah, you can speak the Word of God and confess the Word of God and have your devotional and spend time with the Word, but you can still talk bad about her. You can still talk about her dress she's wearing. You can still talk about how they don't do a good job. It'll be okay. You'll still receive from God. Meanwhile, a year later, and that thing still hasn't happened, we've got to look back at that, and I think 9 out of 10 times, that's the thing that's getting us tripped up, because God's like, oh, you're so close. Oh, you're so close. Oh, you're so close. Please just be quiet one more day so I can do this thing. Take a day off so you don't have to see that person, because I really need to get this thing into your life. Whatever it is, but this is the last story in closing. I got a really good friend. He's a big Ole Miss guy. And I like to play jokes on this guy occasionally. And so I put some Mississippi State stuff on his car one night. He lives in my neighborhood. I'm not a Mississippi State fan. I'm from Oklahoma. That's a Boomer Sooner. But anyway, I did this just to kind of mess with him, tease him, because he's a really big Ole Miss guy. And so anyway, a few days went by. He said, I'm going to get even with you. I know it was you that did it. And so I couldn't get my lawnmower started from nothing. My riding lawnmower. And I looked and I looked. I couldn't get this thing working for nothing. I said, it's got to be the battery. So I went to Walmart. He went with me, which just made it even worse. He went with me. Got back, put the battery in. He's watching me the whole time. Try to start the key up. Nothing. Then all of a sudden, he reaches down. He grabs a spark plug cap, puts it on the spark plug, turns the key, and it starts right up. Right then and there, I knew he just got even with me. But faith and love work together very similar to that. And that is that you have this amazing tool. I have this amazing tool in faith that whenever I consistently use it and have that habit in my life, it's going to get the job done faster. It's going to get the job done, period, that you need to get done for God to bless us, but also bless us to be a blessing to other people. And so many times, the thing that we're missing is we just need to reattach love back to faith, and it's going to get that thing working again, just like that. I mean, that lawnmower started right up as soon as he connected it, while he's laughing at me the entire time. And I was like, okay. I said, you didn't get even. You got up on me on that one. But love is that last habit that we've got to stay consistent with and look at how we're doing on a daily basis, a weekly, and then monthly. How can I come up in this area? And I share these things not to where we can get into works, but I share these things so that we can look at how we can grow and improve and see God's hand consistently move in our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we just thank you for this time together tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we had to receive of your word. Father, I thank you that you just stir our hearts, Lord, on the things specifically, even if it's things I didn't mention tonight, about what you want us to do to get in shape spiritually, to stay spiritually effective, to stay doing good things for you and your kingdom, and seeing your hand move in our lives in a mighty way. Father, I thank you that you just help us, you strengthen us into a place where we can stay fit and effective for you and for your kingdom. Lord, our desire is for you to be pleased with us through having faith in our life. Our desire is for us to is for you to have your hand move in our life in a mighty way when we speak your word. Our desire is to have a time carved out for you each time of devotion so that we can receive your plan. And Father, most of all, our desire is to see your love, the most important thing to you, be moving and working and changing our life, Father. Changing our families, changing our relationships, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to thank you for coming out tonight. I encourage you, if you need prayer for anything at all, we're going to have prayer markers down here right after service. And so come on down, take advantage of that. If it's your first time here,